When I first was given the opportunity to pastor this church, I vowed to myself that I would not preach any political messages. It's going to seem like this message is political this morning, at least the first part of it, the foundation that I want to lay for the real message. It is not. Politics did not enter my mind when I was given these words. So bear with me through the first short part of this. And before we get done this morning, you'll understand that this is not political. Who would ever have thought that in such a short amount of time we could have experienced such devastation and loss, not only here in America, with our loss of freedoms, but around the world. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? How do we stop this? How do we change this? Well, let me start out by saying what we can't do. We can't go to our government and our elected officials because they are over their heads and completely out of their league. All they are doing is trying to save their own positions of power. What I'm saying here this morning is my opinions. And I share them because I know many, many, many other people share the same opinions. And I understand and recognize that there are those that do not. And I do not look down my nose at them. I am not in a position with myself to say I'm right and everybody else is wrong. But I feel I'm right because I'm following God's example and God's word, or at least I try to. We can't rely on our higher level educational establishments. That's teachers and professors. They have left truth and civil discussion long ago. And they have promoted uncivil and often violent discourse in philosophy, where tolerance towards others is no longer tolerated. If you don't think like I do, if you don't act like I do, then you're the bad one, I'm the good one. That's what we feel, that's what we're faced with in this country today. We also cannot rely on science, whether it be medical or otherwise, for the answer, because they are on both sides of the issue. It has become more important than facts, and they are completely, get this, they are completely dismissing faith. When's the last time you even heard God mentioned on the news? When's the last time you even heard anybody talk about faith other than within our own church family? We can't rely on our news agencies or social media to right the wrongs because they are all stilted towards their own flawed physiological bents by which they report and transmit the news. It's never complete. It's never balanced. It's geared and written to sway opinion and not report the facts. We also can't trust our economic system to right the boat, because every economic system that has been tried has failed. And those who are going to need it to survive are tearing down the only economic system that has been successful. This amazes me. We see these multimillionaires, billionaires, that made it financially good in a country, the only country where that could happen. And the only thing they want to do is tear it down. This just amazes me. So I ask, what hope do we have? Our only hope for the chaos we are seeing and experiencing is Jesus Christ and His church. Our hope is not in humanity's solution, but in the Lord God only. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27, it reads, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." When we make reference here this morning, or through any time, I think, to the word church, I'm not talking exclusively about Carlisle, although they are included. I'm talking about the body of believers throughout the world. This is Christ's church. And so to find hope in the midst of this turmoil, we need to place our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the only hope of this world. And He will see us through whatever turmoil and strife we find ourselves in. But our hope is also in the physical representation of Christ in our world today. When's the last time you've seen or heard anybody speak of the representation of Christ in our world today? It's been removed. There are no Ten Commandments hanging on government buildings or courthouses. All of this physical representation has disappeared. The biggest physical reputation that exists in the world today is the church. But nobody recognizes that today. I shouldn't say nobody. Most people don't recognize that today. It's kind of like out of state, out of mind. It's kind of like if we don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. Which is exactly true if we don't talk about it, and if we don't live and do our part in the church, it will not exist. It will go away. We have seen this with so many things in our past recent history. It is time for the church, that is, who believe in Jesus Christ, to rise up. We hear of the silent majority. You've heard me speak about it. The silent majority. It's time for us to speak up. It's time for us, the church of Jesus Christ, to not be the silent majority anymore. Now you're sitting there and you're saying, oh no, here he goes. He's going to tell us to go protest. He's going to tell us to go stand on the corner. He's going to tell us to go and take these people, these radicals, face to face and tell them what it's all about. That's not what I'm going to tell you. What I'm going to tell you is it's time to not be the silent majority anymore. So how can we do that? We do it in prayer. It's time for us to pray for the church. It's time for us to pray for our nation. It's time for us to pray for our world leaders. I'm not talking about political preference. I don't care if you're a Trump man or a never Trump person. I don't care. But in either case, we must pray for the leaders of this world. We must pray for our president. We must pray for our Congress. If they are in error, if their words and actions are not following the words and actions and instructions that Jesus Christ has given us, our prayer should be that they change their hearts. Our prayer should be that the Holy Spirit would intervene. And I'm not talking about just a casual prayer. I'm talking about a serious prayer. A prayer over and over and over again. This is not a thing where you pray once and move on to something else. We need to get really, really serious about changing the discourse in this world today. And the most effective way that we can do that is in prayer to our God and Savior. We need to ask for a place, a shield of protection over and around our country. A protection from Satan and his demonic forces who have invaded the hearts and minds not only of our governmental, educational, and economic leaders, but also the hearts and minds of the people themselves. I so often talk to myself about, do you understand just how happy Satan is right now? You bet. It seems as though he's winning. And I think he is on a day-to-day basis. But through our serious prayer, Satan will be defeated. The discourse will end because of the church. The church, through the direction and guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit, is far more powerful than Satan ever thought he was. Satan is driving all of this discourse. You can see it, just watch the media. You can hear it, just listen to the politicians. When's the last time you ever heard a politician speak down about abortion? When's the last time you ever heard about a politician even referencing the scripture or God? John Lewis passed away this past 2 weeks ago, I guess it was now. All we heard about was how great a person John Lewis was. And he was. But nobody talked about him being a member of a party that promotes and funds abortion. Nobody. You didn't hear that anywhere, at least I didn't. And I don't mean to take away from his good works, but I am saying that we need to look at the picture as a whole to these people and find out what they really, truly are and believe, not what they say. I just wish that we could know how many people, leaderships, not just politicians, but leaders, in the world today, talk to God on a daily basis. I just wish I knew. Now here you go. You're saying, oh man, this preacher's judging people. That's not why I say this. I like to think I am not judging people. I would just like to know. Because if you don't know these type of things, how do you know who to support? How can we ever end the chaos and the discourse that's within our society and our world today if we don't put Christian, active Christian people in leadership positions? How else can we describe the other disregard towards others? The hatred and ritual that is being spewed and the violence being directed towards anything and everything that doesn't look or talk like them. Or that may not agree with their point of view. In fact, I just read how we are now living in a hate everyone culture. How did we get here? Why are we not living in a love everyone culture? That's what Jesus Christ tells us. That's the new covenant that came with the birth of Jesus Christ, to love everyone as you love yourself. Somewhere that message got laid aside. People are not hearing that message today. That is part of our serious prayer. Or should be. But while we need serious prayer for our world, we also need serious prayer for the church. And without that, the church cannot be an effective force. It cannot be an effective force for the good. It cannot be a force that brings praise and glory and honor to the Christ. The reason we need to pray for the church is because it has started to stray away from God and His truth. This is seen in how some churches, denominations, are beginning to serve the God of our culture. With their approval of dismantling of God's definition of marriage between man and a woman and replacing it with alternative lifestyles. Even after the annual conference where the leaders of our church in Michigan voted not to approve or marry same-sex people, there are leaders in this church in Michigan today that have done it anyway. As currently as this past week. How did we get here? The Bible tells us not that this is wrong. But that's not good enough for some leaders in the church today, or even for some members in the church today. The leaders had to pass a resolution stating it officially within our own denomination, and it is still ignored. The church has also been silent when it comes to the sanctity of life. Some churches no longer speak up against abortions. And what's sadder is how some churches have taken up the same talking points as the society around them. They are no longer the voice of God and His Word, and instead they become one of the many voices of our society's norms and morals. Very rare have I heard a preacher on television speak up against what is going on in our society today. They're more apt to just ignore it. Because if you take positions, even though God has demanded us to, even though God has left us the Holy Word that instructs us to, if we take positions on certain things, it may result in an empty pew. That is not the church. The church is a group of believers, regardless of what it says. And there's hypocrisy coming from the pulpits, as some pastors have compromised their calling by being caught up in questionable behavior or are living in sin. And then there is the disunity that is becoming more and more prevalent over the wearing of masks. Really? Seriously? There's a world out there to evangelize, and we're fighting about masks? I'm not saying don't wear them. I'm not saying do wear them. I'm just saying our priority, not us, I'm not talking particularly here, I'm talking about the church as a whole. The priority is whether I need to wear a mask or don't wear a mask, rather than going out and bringing the word of Christ to those that do not know it. Really? Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it reads this way. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What Matthew is saying here is look at yourself first. We're so fast to point out what somebody else is doing wrong and not admitting what we're doing wrong. And Matthew is saying here that Jesus has said is how you do this is exactly how Jesus is going to do it for you. And so we need serious prayer for the church. We need serious prayer for the church to stand up and be a voice. If not, God's judgment will be poured out, beginning with the church, in order to show the world that God is a just God and will not permit ungodliness, no matter who it is from. The day is coming. 1 Peter 4, verse 17 says, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. Oh, boy. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? I think every one of us can answer that question. But sometimes I question how many of us really, truly believe it. Or how many of us believe it only applies to the next person. That doesn't apply to me. Look at your own household first. And so the only hope for the world today is for the church to be the true representation of Jesus Christ and what it says, and then pray not only for the world, but also for itself. We need to pray for our church, that we would return to loving God with the whole of our being, not just saying we love Jesus Christ, but live the love of Jesus Christ. And then also to love our neighbors just exactly as we love ourselves. If we want to see an end to this madness that has gripped the world, the madness that has been inspired by no one less than Satan, then what the Lord is calling for us is repentance. Repentance by the church. Repentance by this crazy, mixed up, and evil world. We are to repent. Ezekiel 33 verse 11 says, "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live." Turn. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die? So now we need to consider God's promise to the church and his people. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Wow. What a promise. We need to listen to that promise. We need to attach ourselves to that promise. But we also need to bring the knowledge of that promise to those that do not know it. We need to bring the knowledge of that promise to a wicked world where Satan is in control, and if we do, Satan will no longer be in control. When we get rid of Satan in our society, healing will begin. And it is the church's responsibility to do exactly that. So I say this morning, let's pray for the Holy Spirit, the breath of God to come and breathe life into his church today so that we can make a difference in this world. Today, the power and the passion has mostly dried up with the church. Worshiping God seems to be more of, "Well, I went to church all my life, so I guess I better go tomorrow, this morning." Worshiping God seems to be that, "I don't know, I was just told that's the right thing to do." So we come to church, we find our pew, we sit down, we get upset if somebody else is sitting in my spot. We lose our passion for Christ. True worship can only be done with passion, not with habit. The church, I'm not speaking specifically Carlisle, the church as a whole doesn't seem to have the passion that it used to have. Today, the power and the passion has mostly dried up with the church, and what remains are the cold embers of a fire that once swept across this world, bringing revival and new life. Now, I know there's somebody here this morning that sat around the campfire last night. What happened to that fire? As it died down, you threw another log in. And then another log. That's exactly what's going to happen with the fire that used to be in this country and in the church is going to go out. At best, there will be a small little group of embers. If somebody doesn't throw the log into the fire to revive the passion that we are to have in serving Jesus Christ. So the Lord is saying to us to speak to the breath, speak to the Holy Spirit, and say this: "Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe your breath of life so that your people can once again live and be a holy fire. Let us pray. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you would encourage us to feed the fire, that you would help us to return to our passion for you. We just ask, Lord, that you would be with the church, that the church would be revived through your strength and your power, that as we go forward as a church, as a people that love you and worship you, that we can be the force that puts out Satan out of our society. That we can be the force that returns our culture and our society to a God-loving, God-worshiping people. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Our oh no, we're going to do communion.